don't know what I did there.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. Excuse me. This is Dr. Rita Marie Moscalzo, and we're here on the 12th of January, 2009, and this is the first day of our January 2009 Green Cleanse, and this is our very first conference call past the kickoff, and we have a very, very special guest tonight. What I'm going to do before we get started and I introduce my special guest is I'm going to mute out everybody on the call, and then when we get to the point where we want you to ask questions or tell us some information, I'll unmute you. That way we get a really clean recording for the people that can't make it to the call, and we won't have any background noise. So I'm going to do that right now. Wonderful. Okay. So I'm very, very excited to have on the call tonight a very, very special guest, very dear friend of mine. Her name is Rosita Alvarez. Rosita and I have known each other for probably the last 6 or 7 years. I can't keep track anymore. And Rosita is very gifted in a lot of areas. In addition to resonance repatterning, which she's going to share with us this evening, she's also a very gifted artist, and she's, in fact, the artist who made my logo for my website, the Pretty Mermaid with the Fairy Wings. She did that, and she's done some book covers for me, and she's going to be doing a whole lot more in the artistic realm for me as well. So I would love to introduce Rosita Alvarez.
Hello.
Hi, Rosita.
Hi there. Happy to be with you tonight.
We're thrilled to have you, and as we talked in preparation for this, I was even more excited about how much value I believe that you can add to people during their green cleanse process right now, but also in their life as it goes on, as they're working on incorporating healthy eating into their day-to-day habits. So we threw out this word, and I'm not sure how many of our listeners really know what resonance repatterning is. So I thought that maybe we could start by having you tell us a little bit about what resonance repatterning is.
All right. Well, what it is, it's a process for identifying and transforming unconscious patterns, which we usually experience as any problems that we may be having. These patterns stop us from achieving our potential as a human being. Resonance repatterning uses outlines that I guide everyone through, and as we go through these outlines, we identify positive statements that we are not resonating with and negative statements that we are resonating with. And what does it mean to resonate with something? What is a resonant repatterning? When you think about resonate, you think what you resonate with is what you perceive. What you resonate with is what you experience. So if I'm resonating with, I am welcomed everywhere I go, that will be my experience. If I'm resonating with, I am not welcomed here or anywhere, that will then be my experience. So that's how we use the word resonance.
Wow. So it's really, it's those kinds of beliefs that create our experience,
yes.
And some of those are not even conscious to us. Is that right?
Exactly. Sometimes we might have an inkling that maybe I'm not feeling confident in myself. I have an inkling about that. And so I'll use a positive affirmation. I'll put a little sign on my mirror that says, I am self-confident. And even though I might say it 10 times, my resonance hasn't changed. I'm still feeling that lack of self-confidence. So what happens with resonance repatterning is not only do we identify what you might have an inkling of, well, I think I have this, I also am able to bring to consciousness pieces that we didn't even know were there. Not only to identify them, but then we'll transform them.
Wonderful. Wow. So this seems like it can be very widespread in its effects. Is that right?
Absolutely. It's amazing what changing your resonance to one core belief, how that plays out like an amazing web. in how you relate to yourself, relate to others, relate to sharing your gifts to the world.
And, you know, when you were saying all that, I was thinking about how a lot of people use affirmations, you know, these affirmation things, and they say, well, I've been doing all these positive affirmations and nothing's really changed. And that's because they haven't changed the underlying resonance that was feeding the old statement.
Exactly. And sometimes a positive affirmation is the exact transformation tool and may work perfectly well for Susan or Carol or John, but doesn't touch Max and Helen and the others. And what the beauty of resonance repatterning is that by being able to read the field of patterns that makes up an individual or a group, I can read the exact transformation tool for this exact issue on this exact day. So what makes resonance repatterning so powerful is that I have very pointed tools that not only find that needle in the haystack, I can then take it and put it specifically in a place we'll never be in that haystack again.
Wow. Powerful. So, you know, Rosita, when I was talking to you earlier about how you got interested in resonance repatterning, the story that you told is just so, it would just be so representative of the power of this technique. So I'd love for you to share with the group, how did you get interested in resonance repatterning?
Well, my husband was an acupuncturist, and he was sharing his office with a woman who is a massage therapist, but who had been recently trained in resonance repatterning. At that time, it was called holographic repatterning. We've gone through a name change. My 2.5-year-old fell and had a mild concussion, and she was a very talkative little girl, but after that fall, about 3 days later, she talked very little. 4 days later, she was just very quiet. She was fully functioning, and she even jumped on the swing set and taught herself to pump at that early age in her quiet state, but I was very concerned. And I took her to see Nancy Crosswaith, who was the original resonance repatterner here in Austin. She's working with a child, so she couldn't really ask Jacoby where it hurt or what was happening, and Jacoby wasn't talking very much at all anyway. So she began this process of using muscle checking to identify what was happening and exactly how to transform it. And what I saw her doing was pressing, the practitioner pressed a muscle on herself, so she pushed on a finger and it gave her a strong response or a weak response. And she basically asked questions of my daughter's system and got a yes-no response through the muscle indicator. And it directed her to use color puncture, which is like a flashlight with these color gels that you can put on it, mm-hmm. and shine them on different places on my daughter's skull. And literally, the lights turned on in my daughter's eyes, and she began talking.
Wow.
And what the practitioner had discovered was there were certain, you know, parts of the bone structure that needed support, but there were also a few beliefs in there. And when it happened, it was in a 2-year-old developmental struggle running away from a conflict that she then fell and hurt herself. And so she was a little bit locked in a mental construct as well as a physical injury. And when she cleared both of them, poof, my darling daughter was her vocal, vibrant self again.
Wow. Just like that. It wasn't like 3 days later or 2 weeks later.
Oh, I watched it happen.
Wow.
Right there in front of me.
So that must have been pretty empowering for you to think, wow, how I want to learn this.
I did. I was like, I've got to know this.
Oh, my gosh. Now, you know what it makes me think, though, is how many of us had stuff like that may have happened to us when we were younger, and we didn't get it repatterned right away, and maybe it's contributing to some limiting beliefs that we have now about ourselves, about our health, about our weight, about our ability to, you know, resist temptations or whatever.
Certainly.
With conflicts.
It's, you know, it's part of being human that we have these hard knocks and we try to grow from them, and some of those knocks keep us a little lopsided for
right.
far longer than necessary.
Oh, it's wonderful. So we were going to talk tonight about how we can use some of this repatterning to help us overcome emotional eating habits. And I know that in working and doing, this is my sixth green cleanse in the past year, and every single time I do it, people are always telling me that there's emotional patterns to their eating. Oh, I can't resist that, or it creates all this emotion, and, you know, I need to have my chocolate, or I go crazy, and things like that, and they just want to be healthier. They make a decision to eat certain foods, and then some of these emotional blocks get in the way and thwart them in their endeavors. And we were hoping that maybe a repatterning like this to the group might really help with those emotional eating patterns.
Absolutely. And so, as we work together as a group, what we'll find is that what is someone else's issue may not be exactly as mine, but mm-hmm. when we change our resonances together, when I let go of my dairy as comfort food and you're letting go of another issue related to eating, when we do it together, that group synergy is so powerful.
Wow. So you mentioned some words to me before, Rosita, a coherent and a non-coherent pattern, and I'd love to hear what that means and how that relates.
Well, moving to a higher energy state, it's like when we're on this cleanse and we come to that point of facing that craving and that point of decision arises, we can spiral up to a higher state, which we call coherence, or we can spiral down to a lower state, which I would call non-coherence.
Mm.
So in achieving our full potential, the coherence in who I am, my personal strengths, your personal strengths, they're going to be strengthened. Coherence in how I relate, my relationship strengths. Coherence in what you do, how you put those strengths into action. That will be affected on all those levels as we go through this repatterning together.
Wow, that so resonates with me, to use that word, because I teach heart math, and they talk about coherence and non-coherence in heart math in relationship to the brain and the heart wave, the heartbeat and the brain waves, and how they correlate, and how we choose stressful and non-useful responses when we're in a non-coherent state, and we choose much more resourceful responses when we're in a coherent state. So it's probably, you know, working on the same kinds of principles, just different layers of the body.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. So I also like, before we get started, I know we're going to go and have everybody introduce themselves and get started on the repatterning, the actual work of the repatterning. But before we do that, I'd love to have you share how you've used resonance repatterning around the issue of emotional eating patterns with people.
Well, one person comes to mind, and that was someone who was in advanced stages of liver cancer, and she was in a lot of miserable pain that she could barely escape, and she was recommended to try a diet change, and she was supported by family and friends in following a new diet, yet it felt hard to her, it felt impossible, and she was open to trying it, but she felt blocked. And in the midst of our repatterning, you know, we revealed how she had comforted herself with food as an early child, and to give up some of those favorite things felt too painful for her at this time.
I'm sure that lots of people on the call can resonate with that statement. I've
yes.
heard that comment a lot.
Because, you know, we have these endorphins that are activated with happy memories. Even the smell of a certain food will take you right back to a positive experience or a negative experience where that food was wrapped into the memory making of an important event. And we're going to be making new memories as we go through the cleanse, going through this new event. And for this client in particular, she couldn't move forward and benefit until she changed her resonance to healthy eating. Healthy eating, before we did the session for her, was staunchly, it's too hard to eat healthy. It tastes horrible to eat healthy. Why try? It's not going to help. I'm hopeless. So we had to repattern those core beliefs. And, of course, when we did, the food tasted better. She felt better. And she had a couple of months of when she ate the right food, she felt great, and she was able to bond deeply with her family. It was a pretty profound experiencing it.
Wow. Wow, that is very profound. And those issues are, I hear all the time, keeping people from moving forward and not, you know, necessarily in the state of such severe illness, but people are dealing with challenges of all different types, whether it's fibromyalgia or excess weight or stomach problems, whatever. And they want to get past it, but there's something that keeps blocking them. They know what they should be eating, and they know it's the right thing, but they just keep falling back into their old patterns. And so hopefully this is going to help prevent that.
Yes, it will help give us a great, it's like a jet fuel, huge to get us on our way.
Wonderful. So is there anything else that you would like to add before we open up the lines, and I'll allow you to explain to people how you want them to introduce themselves?
I feel ready.
You feel ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and press the magic numbers to open up the lines so people can speak. So all callers are unmuted right now. And we're hoping that you, if someone wants to just say hi so we know that it's really unmuted.
Hello.
Hi. Oh, good. Yay. We heard a bunch of hi's. Great. And if you're out there and you're just on the webinar and you're not on the telephone, the way that you could participate in this is Rosita's going to have a specific way she wants you to introduce yourself. You can go ahead and type that into the little box on your screen, on the webcast screen, in the question box, and hit submit, put your name on it, hit submit, and then I'll get that and I'll relay that information back to Rosita. Okay? So I'll turn it over to you, Rosita, and you can explain to everyone how you want to proceed.
Well, welcome, welcome, everyone. What I'd like us to do is to introduce ourselves by your first name. And so you'd say, hi, I'm Beverly, and I'll say, hi, Beverly. And then I'd like you to say, what is a negative emotional piece that you feel ties you to healthy eating? So when I say healthy eating, the negative emotional feeling that I get as Rosita is too hard. I have this negative feeling of it's too much effort for me. So you might have one word or two words that have an emotional feeling. It might be scared. Anything at all that comes to mind in relation to healthy eating that feels like a negative response to healthy eating. I'd also like to tell you that as we go through this process together, I'll be asking questions of the group, and I will have a list of everyone's name who is with us tonight, and I will actually muscle check, which means I will ask the energetic field of the group who would be the best person to answer this question for the whole group to hear. And I may call on you by name. If you are uncomfortable answering the question in front of the group, you simply just say pass or skip, and then I'll muscle check the next person that is best for the group to hear. So let's begin by introducing ourselves. Who's ready to say your name first? And then a negative response you have to healthy eating.
Well, I'm Susan.
Hi, I'm Betty.
Hi, Betty. What is your negative response to healthy eating?
I was able to do the healthy eating for 3 weeks at Hippocrates last September, October. But I have not been able to do it since I've been home. Mm-hmm. I did it partially, but it was too hard.
Okay. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Suzanne.
Hi, Suzanne.
Hi. The words for me are too little pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
too little pleasure.
Right, yeah, that. Like not enough sensual pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you.
Just Beverly.
Hi, I'm Susan.
Hi, Beverly.
Sorry, Susan. I made a huge change about 2 years ago, did a lot of raw foods, and it mainly was based on health issues and a lot of food allergies. Mm-hmm. And I would say that even now, I feel that I'm too restricted. So my word would be restrictive because of the allergies.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I'm doing it, and I actually have totally changed my palate, but I still feel it's restrictive, like to eat out with friends and things like that. And I figured out how to do it, but I don't like it.
Yes.
Ditto.
I have gluten, dairy, and egg allergies, and I've been told to get off of grains, and I'm like going, there's nothing left. So I feel a little resentful about that, and I'm still, I mean, I'll do it because I know I need to, and I have last 20 pounds that are stubborn. I can't get rid of them. I'm frustrated about that, too, so I don't know what else I can do to get rid of them. So help.
Great. Thank you. And Susan, you're there, too?
Yes, I am. I think my words would be it's too hard. And I'm not satisfied. Yeah, I have a real hard time staying on the. Well, I do pretty good on the cleanse. I struggle through it emotionally because I definitely want to eat, and I usually want to eat things that aren't healthy for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I struggle with staying, you know, as much raw as possible.
Mm-hmm. Is there anyone else there tonight?
Yeah,
hello,
this is Mike.
My name is
Did I hear Mike?
Yeah, you did.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, and I would use, similar to what the other person said, I would say isolating, especially when you're eating raw, that I don't have that much trouble, but going out in the world and trying to be raw is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
This is Mary, and this is our first day with the smoothies. And I know I miss my bread, and I miss crunchy food.
Yes, Mary. I was craving crackers myself like crazy today.
This is
Hi,
Michelle.
I'm Clarita.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi. My thought is that I will never, I'll never lose the weight and keep it off. I'll be yo-yoing the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I guess just being consistent with something is really hard for me.
Okay. Was that Pyrita?
Hi, Clarita.
Say your name one more time.
Clarita.
Clarita.
Hi, Rosita.
Hello.
Long, long time.
This is Mike.
I'm actually really excited because I got to such a place where this is so necessary, and I'm very excited. But what I think is my main, you know, years of why I told myself I couldn't do it again is because of the isolation, that whole social world of eating out and the fun and the idea that that's my fun.
Yes.
And not a real community here yet of, you know, eating like this. So, isolation.
Is there anyone else here this evening?
I'm going to check my...
This is Doug.
Hi, Doug.
I just don't like having to think about it.
And it takes much longer to eat the smoothie.
Isn't that surprising? Yeah.
I can vouch, this is Suzanne, and I can vouch that after having done this for a year, that my allergies, I think, are turning around. For that other lady.
Excellent.
That's great.
Is there
have
anyone,
hope. Yes. Anyone else joining us? And if you are on the webinar and would like to type in.
Yeah, I'm looking to see if there's any questions. Nope, it doesn't look like anyone's typed in. So I think everyone is actually on the telephone call that's out there, unless they're being shy. And there were three people who could not be on the call and emailed me to say they just wanted to be included in the group energy. And at some point, if you want to take their names down, I can.
If you have them, I'd love to do that right now.
Yeah, one is Ben. And one is Pam,
mm-hmm.
And one is Terry.
Terry?
Terry, T-E-R-R-Y. Or actually, Starlin is how she goes.
All right. Well, great. Well, let us begin.
Great.
So you might hear me flipping a few pages of my guidebooks. We're going to get started by turning problems into opportunities. We've identified a bit of our problem list here that we have. And I'm going to call on one person. So I am muscle checking through this list at this moment. And it's Clarita.
Yes.
Why do you feel that to eat healthy and well is going to eliminate your fun?
Well, I think that the only fun that eliminates is being with friends and going out. The kind of high that happens with celebrating with a cocktail, and all that social idea about that our cultural ideas that socializing is, a great fun. And I think also the whole cultural Italian background of, in my case, but I think most, cultures have strong ideas about eating family together and feasting, and so there's some kind of deprivation of my culture, like I won't eat pasta and there goes my stuffed artichokes and those ideas also.
Yes. Okay.
It's leaving something behind. It's
mm-hmm.
of my upbringing.
Yes. We need to look and see for a weakness or flaw in ourselves that we feel or imagine is connected to our problems with healthy eating. Thinking about a weakness or a flaw in the self that we feel or imagine. Doesn't necessarily have to be a flaw that I think I have. It can be a flaw or a weakness that I feel that I have. And this would be best addressed by, I'm going to muscle check another name. Hi, Mary.
Yes?
And you can always say skip if you want someone else to answer in front of the group. What weakness or flaw do you feel or you imagine might be connected to the problems with healthy eating?
I'm not disciplined.
Mm-hmm. We need to list more. No, we don't, so not disciplined. Okay. We need to ask someone else. Yes. Doug, what do you feel is a weakness or a flaw that's involved with you and what's connected to the problem?
I guess I'll just have to pass.
Okay. And Betty.
Yes.
What weakness or flaw in yourself do you feel or imagine is connected to it feeling so hard?
I think that I've always had a learning disability, and I think that, well, I know right now when I have problems with the computer and I really get overwhelmed and lose stuff that I have been working on, I will just have to give it up, get away from it, and I want to eat. And then I go downstairs and I will eat off the diet. I will eat. What did I eat? I ate a turkey sandwich. What else did I can't remember the things, but it was absolutely off the diet. Total give up. Okay. But then I did get back on after, like the next day or after that outbreak. I did go back onto the diet.
As you can see, right, going from frustration to food.
Right. Yes.
Okay, we need this question addressed by anyone else. So when I ask this question, even though I won't be calling on you by name, you can be answering it to yourself. So when I say, what is a weakness or flaw involved, you'll be thinking of that for yourself, whether I call on you or not. I do need to call on one more person, and that's Mike. What weakness or flaw do you imagine is connected to the problems with healthy eating?
Well, I think maybe faith in the sense that faith in the results, that it's really going to pay off.
Yes. We need to know the opportunity that these problems offer, the opportunity of healthy eating and facing these problems. We need to identify personal strengths that are needed. So what positive strengths do you personally need to have in this situation? So here's where we're going to be identifying one of those positive statements that we won't be resonating with, that we need to change to resonate with. So what is a positive strength you personally need to have in this situation with healthy eating? And Michelle, I'd like if you'd like to answer that out loud.
Okay. A positive strength
you need to have in this situation.
Okay, I would need to really have my eye on the goal and put me as a priority to get to the goal and stay there.
Yes. All right, that's going to hold for the whole group. We need heart entrainment. Let me take a pause for a section and flip to that. We need this statement for everyone. So I would like everyone to repeat this statement after. I'm going to say it first, and then I'll walk you through it. And it's, I feel safe connecting to my own heart and to the heart of others with unconditional love. And so I'll say a section of it, and then I'll have you repeat it out loud. So I'd like everybody to repeat. I feel safe.
I feel safe.
Connecting to my own heart.
Connecting to my own heart.
And to the heart of others.
And to the heart of others.
With unconditional love.
With unconditional love.
Thank you. And so I'm muscle checking that we are not resonating with that statement, and we will switch that by the end of the statement. Okay. We need anything else from turning problems into opportunities? We're complete with that section.
We need to look at new intentions. We need to go right to the repatterning now. We need to be oriented to the repatterning. Okay.
Rosita, I can barely hear you.
Okay. Is this better?
Much better. Thank you.
Okay. So we're going to proceed through the endorphin stress repatterning and how endorphins link us to memories, and all the healing that we experience happens through our endorphins. The amount of the healing effect something has is directly related to the amount of endorphins that it activates. Flipping to that section. So it would be beneficial to hear something from this introduction in front of me. Yes, from here. When we have an imbalanced endorphin activation, there are negative effects. People come to depend on stress to activate their endorphin response. Experiencing stress becomes a habitual response and detrimental to your health. Endorphins that are associated with the parasympathetic nervous system response, those endorphins help you feel relaxed and calm and tranquil while you're dealing with stress. If you have too many of those endorphins, then you feel lethargic, devitalized, depressed, numbing out, sleepy even. When these parasympathetic nervous system endorphins are depleted, changes of routine will upset you, and you become easily overwhelmed or irritable or can't think clearly. So we have that one set of endorphins, which is parasympathetic. We have another set with the sympathetic nervous system. And those endorphins associated there bring you a sense of aliveness, excitement, joy, and challenge. They result in rapid breathing, a speeded-up heartbeat, quick, clear thinking, quick judgments, and that ability to run fast. When you have too many of those endorphins activated, they bring anxiety, tension, and burnout to the whole system. Being unhappy depletes your supply of endorphins. An unhappy experience may also bond you to a negative memory, which continues to impact your present experience. One example of this is seen in those who are stressed out by the ups and downs of relationship rather than energized and happy in the challenge that every relationship brings. On another hand, some may be addicted to relationship endorphin response that relationship brings. The danger of this occurs when a person can't live without a relationship, they become totally dependent on an external source for their happiness. All of this is speaking about imbalanced endorphin activations. Many things will trigger those endorphin responses, from bird sounds, intellectual stimulation, massage, acupuncture. So again, the power of the healing effect that anything has lies in the endorphins that it activates that bring pleasure, stimulation, tranquility, and which automatically boost the immune system. So immediately when we think of eating, eating has a healing effect not only by what it's doing physically with the minerals and the elements and the fiber and all that, but with the endorphins that it activates. So this repatterning that we're going to do is an endorphin response to stress repatterning. And for this part, we need to keep the mute off so that we can address. Yes, we'll do it that way. And I'll be calling on a few people to answer questions for the group. But again, even if I don't call on you, form the answer clearly in your mind that stands for yourself. So I want you to identify a specific stress in your life, specific towards eating and loving eating well.
And we've talked about our negative response to eating well when we introduced ourselves. There's also a negative mental state, which is a little different from the emotional response. And we talked about some of these negative mental states, like frustration and feeling isolated. There are also physical symptoms of stress that we experience. And on this question, I'm going to ask for a response. Sorry about that paper tear there. I'd like to hear physical symptoms of stress that we're experiencing, and I'd like first to hear from Susan.
I'm not quite sure what you're asking. You want to know what's this right now in my body where I'm feeling the stress?
Mm-hmm. Any physical symptom of stress that you're experiencing. So it could be anything from I have an ache here to my head is throbbing to I'm cold. Any physical symptom of stress that you're experiencing?
Okay, I would say I'm having a little bit of my lower back is hurting me just a little bit. Mm-hmm. And my feet are cold.
Mm-hmm. All right, we need to hear a negative emotional response to the stress of eating well from Mary again. A negative emotional response.
I think I'll have to pass.
Can you say that again?
I think I don't have a word to give you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, pass. Okay. I wasn't sure if you had said the past.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we need to hear from anyone else at this time? We don't. Okay. When we are bonded to a negative situation, an emotional response and a mental state, because of the pain relief or pleasurable endorphins that are activated by that stress. So we receive a certain pleasure from the stress of not eating well or the stress of trying to eat well by the negative feelings that come with it, the negative mental states that are there. So that certain pleasure that we receive is that stress-activated endorphin state. So we need to put this into a statement for everyone. We don't. We need to move on to the next part. Okay. So we're going to start with this question here. Is there something you're doing that is pleasurable, but which also impacts your health and well-being negatively? And this is going to be in relation to your eating, so I want you to think for yourself, what is that specific thing you're doing that is pleasurable, but is what is also impacting your health and well-being negatively? And we need to hear from anyone on this one out loud. We don't. I want you just to think about those certain pieces of your life, you know, this is also for someone who is trying to overcome, like, an addiction to smoking. It brings a lot of pleasure, but it impacts their health. Eating after midnight might bring a great pleasure, but it might be impacting your health. So think about the part that holds that for you. And then we're going to together say this statement, and you'll fill in the blank of the pleasure if you'd like to say it out loud. I'm going to read the statement first. I want to, and then there's the blank, like I want to eat off the diet or whatever your catchphrase is for you, in spite of the stress, and we're also going to use the word danger, it creates for my health and well-being. So we're going to say this together, and you're going to say what your piece is right after the words, I want to. So here we go together. I want to. Now repeat that.
I want to. Overeat.
And then now say the piece that is yours, whether it's overeat or whatever. I want to. And put it all together.
Overeat. I want to overeat.
I want to
overeat
at night.
Eat too much.
And then say, in spite of the stress and danger.
In spite of the stress and danger.
It creates for my health and well-being.
It creates health and well-being.
Thank you. And we're resonating with wanting it in spite of the danger. We'll change that when we come to the end. We need to look at what is that excessive endorphin response that's holding this in place. And for the group, it's, we need to look at sympathetic. We do. And it's this statement. I get excited when I do something wrong or bad. So this is that negative statement talking about the sympathetic nervous system endorphin response. And it's, we need to use the word wrong, bad. I get excited when I do something bad. That's the statement we need. So when we step over a line and do something we didn't want to do, it's creating that endorphin rush of excitement. So I want you to repeat that statement after I say it. I'll break it into parts. I get excited. When I do something bad.
When I do something bad.
Okay. And yes, we're resonating with that, and we'll switch that. Then for the parasympathetic nervous system, we need... which is, I fantasize excessively about something unreal, about a negative relationship. So parasympathetic nervous system, that's the part of you that moves towards relaxation and bonding. That's the one that's stimulated by the beauty, the sound of a bird. And this is the negative statement in relation to that endorphin activation. So I'll have us repeat that out loud. Sometimes we'll come across some of these statements that you don't think ring perfectly true for you. But what they are is they're holding the energetics for the group, and by participating, it'll distinguish it for you. So I'd like you to repeat after me. I fantasize excessively.
I fantasize excessively.
About a negative relationship.
About a negative relationship.
Okay, thank you. Yes, we're resonating strongly with that one. We need to look at the earlier experience underlying the negative response to stress. We do. And to look at earlier experiences in a group repatterning, we need to have one person stand for the group. No. We're going to have each person answer this to themselves. Yes. Okay. So I need to identify it for each person, the age. I do. Okay. So what I'm about to muscle check is the age for each person, where I'd like you to hold your attention to where your negative response to stress and the not well activation of endorphins started at. And so I'm just going to say your name, and then I'll muscle check the time period, and I want you to let your attention rest there as I go through the list for the others. So for Beverly, it is 20 to 25, so 21, your 23-year-old aspect. And for Suzanne,
10 to 15 year old.
Huh?
So for Suzanne, so when it's quiet, I'm muscle checking through numbers to find out which right time period to pay attention to.
Okay.
And so for Suzanne, it is in between 10 to 15. 11, 12. And it's 13-year-old. And then for Betty, it's the 25 to 30-year-old period. And that's the 28-year-old aspect for Betty.
Betty is 71.
Okay. So, Betty, if you can just let your mind wander back to those roaring 20s period for you and that 23-year-old aspect.
28.
Okay. And for Susan, it's early, 6 to 10. It's your 9-year-old aspect. For Mike, twenty-two-year-old aspect. Eighteen. Okay. Now I just lost my space. Did I just speak for Mike?
Well, you said Mike was 22. And
okay,
then, I don't
and
know
then Mary, 18.
Mary is 18. Okay.
Okay. And then we have Michelle next on my list. Aspect. And then for Clarita, 6 to 10, 9-year-old aspect. And for Doug, 26-year-old aspect. Did I get everyone? So I've listed these ages, and this age is a time period where you may or may not remember very well a negative situation involved with someone important to you. But this is where we're anchoring the repatterning at this is a date that is identified as the earlier experience holding difficulty in place for you in regards to eating well. So I'm going to ask you to think of, if you can, a negative situation that may have been happening at that time. If you can't think of anything, just imagine yourself at that age and imagine that that part of you is right here inside of you, ready for healing. And I'll speak these questions for those that can imagine a specific situation. You know, for some it may be that when they were 9, that's when their parents got divorced. Or when they were 23, that was when a major life event happened with perhaps a divorce or losing a parent. You know, it can be anything. And sometimes it doesn't have to be that dramatic. Sometimes it was, well, I graduated when I was 23 and I went job hunting. And it was that period that the issues today are still drawing from. So I'd like you to think about a negative situation at that age, what was happening with you and the people involved or a particular person at that age, what were they like? I'm going to identify needs that were affected by these earlier experiences that we need to have conscious so that they can be repatterning. So for some of us, the basic life need that needs to be supported here is positive touch. Positive touch in someone's earlier experience was affected by that negative experience to where for them to experience positive touch is a good thing. It got wrapped in negativity somehow, and we're going to relieve that. For another person, the basic life need is breath, pure air, being able to breathe well. Got wrapped up in negativity. For others, positive communication, being heard, hearing, having understanding,
having your humor appreciated and your joy, those positive needs were wrapped up into this negative situation, and to experience them now positively becomes challenged because it gets wrapped up in negativity of those earlier experiences. And for another, positive separation is the life need that was affected in this earlier experience, that freedom to explore and return for touching bonded when needed. That would be a positive separation. But if you experience a separation that was very negative, for your body to come across a positive separation here in the present, it's very difficult, wrapped in negativity. So those were the life needs that I needed to read out loud relating to these earlier experiences. There's also spirit level needs that when we have these negative experiences, it's almost like we have this spirit level need for acceptance or adoration, and it's like that need gets twisted so that in order for us to have acceptance or have adoration, it gets wrapped in this negative twist, and once I finally get that acceptance, it's yanked right back out from under me. So I'm going to list out loud the spirit level needs that our group has experienced as being hurt through these negative earlier experiences. So it's a list of 36, and I'm going to muscle check through them which ones we need to hear tonight that need support. Moderation, number 22, avoiding any excess that we're prone to. Receptivity, another spirit level need. Trust that all is provided, and innocence. And unity. So with moderation being one of the spirit level needs that has come up, if you have moderation affected in an earlier life experience, for you to experience moderation in the present time, it comes in a twisted way. That's what I'm describing. It has somehow been tweaked in the wrong direction so that moderation is experienced as not life sustaining and building, but as life depleting. So we're going to turn that around. We're going to change our resonance in relation to these basic life needs and spirit level needs. Anybody needs to say anything from this list out loud for this session at this time? No. Yes. Is there anyone who has a question at this point or would like to say anything out loud?
How did you get the numbers for each one of us?
That's a question I didn't get in the very beginning, which is muscle checking. It is a way of reading the field of another person. And the way I do it is I have my hand right in front of me, and I push on my extended index finger. And when it goes down, that gives me a weak response, which is a no. And when I press on it and it gives me the strong response, that is a yes. The art of resonance repatterning is being trained to use a muscle indicator to gather information from another person's field. So I'm reading the group and the individuals in the group by pressing a muscle. And that's how I have a list in front of me, 0 to 5, and I look at it and I muscle check, and my finger goes down. And then I look at 6 to 10. I muscle check it and it holds strong. So that person that I was muscle checking that number for, their higher resonance, that going to a more coherent state, is going to come by me following this muscle indicator as we reach for higher coherence. The same thing with this list of spirit level needs. I'm looking at a list of 36 qualities. I don't have to think what the group needs or imagine what the group needs. I'm actually reading the field by muscle checking 1 to 10, 10 to 20, and then when I say in my mind 22 and my muscle checker held strong, I knew that was one I needed to say out loud that someone needed to hear. It's a beautiful system. Muscle checking has been around for a very long time. It actually started in the medical field, and it has, in resonance repatterning, I find it is one of the highest forms of it in our training, because we also have what happens when it doesn't feel strong and it doesn't feel weak. I kind of get a middle-of-the-line response when I press that muscle. It gives me a gray response. Then that sends me to a whole other outside-of-the-box section of resonance repatterning to look at. All right, well, I'm going to continue forward for us with this negative earlier situation and how it is tied to difficulties in the present. So we have these life needs and spirit level needs that are not resonating with. I'd like for you, if you have a specific sense of that earlier time period that I muscle checked for you and a negative situation that may have happened, I want you to think about a negative feeling that you had in that situation. So perhaps if your parents were separating, your negative feeling may have been fear or may have been, you know, abandonment. So just if you've got a specific, let a specific feeling come to mind. And the next part is we're going to go to the negative beliefs that come from those earlier experiences. So as a result of that earlier time period, what negative belief do you imagine you had about yourself? Negative belief you imagine you had about yourself at that earlier time period. And it'd be wonderful if there was anyone who wanted to share that negative belief that they had that we are going to transform.
This is Mary.
Hi, Mary.
When I was 18, I was in the convent. And at that time of the training, you would do things like washing floors and, you know, a lot of manual stuff. And I'm not very fast. So I felt incompetent because I could not do it as well as the other people. And feeling incompetent is something I'm 64 that I still struggle with. The same period, because it was novice time, you didn't talk to other people. So a sense of isolation, of not belonging.
Mm-hmm.
The only pleasure you had, and it wasn't the best food, and sometimes, you know, we would get desserts, which I would look forward to, and I would always get sick on Friday because my system did not do well with the sauerkraut that we had on Thursdays.
Uh-huh. Thank you for sharing. Is there anyone else who would like to share the negative beliefs that they had about themselves at that time period, if anything comes to mind? For those of you that had that early, like, 6 to 10-year-old period, it might be just something that you feel or think was a negative belief. You don't have to be certain, but if there's anything that you'd like to share, is there anyone else?
This is Betty.
Hi, Betty.
I had a breakup of a long-time relationship, and I felt undervalued, that I broke it off because of something he did, and I felt he didn't take me into consideration. He didn't, you know, I thought we had a better relationship than that.
Mm-hmm. So you took that into a belief that others were not valuing you.
Yes.
Yes. Is there anyone else who would like to share?
This
I
is
will.
Clarita.
Oh. Let's start with Clarita.
I know that I had a lot of negative, you know, feedback by older sisters, and I'm trying to pinpoint it, but it's something between, you know, something between being unwanted, like undesirable,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, the cooties thing, like the little sister with the cooties. I'm not wanted in the space, in the room, with the friends, that kind of thing. So
mm-hmm.
Something between unlovable and unwanted.
Yes. Thank you for sharing.
Suzanne, and I always had that feeling, too, because I'm the youngest sister.
Mm.
But I've been trying to put my hands around or my brain around being 13, and that the only thing that I could think of is that when I was little, I was such a I could beat all the boys. I was real fast. And when my body started changing when I was 13, mm. I just thought, what is this about? Because I couldn't beat the boys anymore. And I hated that. And I just didn't understand what was happening. I think transitioning to junior high was kind of hard, too.
Absolutely. For all of us, I think.
Yeah, because, I mean, my aunt, I tried to put mascara on, and I stabbed my eye, and I was crying the first day of junior high. And but I just, the other thing is I didn't think that I was as pretty. I had somebody call me son because my hair was short because I was a swimmer. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I thought I was very pretty. I thought I was kind of masculine looking.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, all of you, for sharing. Many times these negative beliefs that we have or even that missing life need or that spirit level need that I read out, oftentimes they're generational patterns that we've inherited from our parents as well. And as we clear them today in this session, we'll just clear them back generationally as well. I'm going to move forward to attitude, responses, and concepts of time involved. And I'm going to look at not the negatives, but we're going to move towards the positives that we need to bring in to boost the immune system, because it activates the coherent endorphin responses. So we're going to start with the coherent attitude that we need for the group. Yes. And that is going to be, I maintain my integrity, my optimism, and my faith through all my challenges. I maintain my integrity, optimism, and faith through all my challenges. So I'm going to have us say that out loud. I'll break it into smaller chunks. Repeat after me. I maintain my integrity.
My integrity.
Optimism and faith.
Optimism and faith.
Through all my challenges.
Through all of my challenges.
Thank you. That's the coherent attitude we're going to bring in. And the next is the response. And that's, I have the power to change this situation or to handle this situation. For some of you, change might feel better, and for some, handle might feel the better one. And so you'll repeat after me, I have the power.
I have the power.
To change, handle.
To change and handle
this situation. Thank you. And then the coherent concept of time that we need. I do what I need to do in whatever time I have. So I want you to repeat after me. I do what I need to do. In whatever time I have.
Thank you. All right. So we're not resonating with those coherent statements yet, but we're about to switch those on and turn off the negative ones. So to naturally activate the endorphins on the sympathetic level, this is going to be the same for the whole group. It is. And we need, I am highly energized by listening or dancing to active, fun music. Sometimes when we're not in phase with that, when we hear active, fun music, our response to it is, if only I didn't hurt so much, I might enjoy moving to that. Or when I hear that active, fun music, I feel even more isolated and down because it's not matching the mood I'm in. What we're going to repattern here is that when you hear active, fun music, whether you're listening to it or dancing to it, that it creates that appropriate endorphin response to bring you to a highly energized state. So I want you to repeat after me. I'm highly energized.
I'm highly energized.
By listening or dancing.
By listening or dancing.
To active, fun music.
Active, fun music.
Okay, great, thank you. And then for that parasympathetic nervous system, we will have 8. With smiling, so we need, I energize others by my smile. I energize others by my smile. So I want you to repeat that now.
I energize others by my smile.
Thank you. And we need a color. We don't. We're going to create the new possibility, intention, and action needed. And this is going to be for each person. And we need to say this out loud. No, just hold it to yourself, okay? I want you to think of an aim that interests you, it excites you, it's possible for you to do, it stimulates you to move to your edge of growth without overwork, without danger. This boosts your immune system by producing pleasurable endorphins. What is an aim, a direction, something that you want to go after? Something that interests you, excites you, it's possible for you to do. It stimulates you to move to your edge of growth without overwork and danger, boost your immune system, produce those pleasurable endorphins. I'll say what mine is, and that is this cleanse. For me, this is the intention that meets all that checklist. I'll say it one more time as you hold in mind. What is an aim that interests you, excites you? It's possible for you to do. It stimulates you to move to your edge of growth without overworking and without danger. And this is going to boost the immune system because it produces those pleasurable endorphins. Hold that answer in your mind. I want you to think about the actions that you need to take to realize that aim. Some of you might have a pen and paper. You might jot it down. You've picked your aim. You're thinking about your actions. And I want you to pick one action in particular, and we're going to say a statement together with that action. And for me, I'm going to say, I follow the cleanse persistently with pleasure in the growth, the challenge, and the joy this brings. For someone else, that aim might be something else, and you'll just say whatever it is, the action that supports that aim.
Let me give you just a moment to be ready. Identifying your action that's going to support that aim. And let's say together, I'm going to say I, and what I will say out loud is follow the cleanse. You might say something else, and then the next word we're going to say is persistently. So if you're ready to join in, let's move through this statement. I follow
the
cleanse.
I exercise persistently.
Follow the cleanse.
Persistently.
With pleasure.
With pleasure.
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 In the growth.
In the growth.
Mm-hmm.
The growth.
Challenge.
Challenge.
Challenge. And joy this brings.
And joy.
And joy this brings.
Thank you. All right. So we've now brought to the light all the pieces that we need to switch on the positive statements so that we're resonating with them, and turn off those negative statements so we don't resonate with them. And the way we're going to do this is with a visual modality. And I'm going to look at a list of possible ways that we can anchor in these intentions. So hold on just a second as I flip over there. And we're going to do it with movement, with relaxation. We're going to use relaxation. We're going to do the laughing breath to anchor this in. And so we are actually going to be laughing out loud. And for those of you that are holding a phone in your hand, once I explain the directions and say go, I'm going to have you set the phone down and do this. Oxygen is essential for life and every cell, and it burns or oxidizes the nutrients to create energy and warmth. Oxygen supports the elimination of toxic waste. Belly laughing relaxes the diaphragm so you can breathe more easily, and fully relaxes every muscle in the body, allows for oxygen intake, and produces the brain-body neurotransmitters, which give you that feeling of joy. Whether you're in a laughing mood or not, it makes no difference. If you do the laughing movement, which is turn up your lips, open your mouth wide, make that ha-ha-ha laughing sound, your body-mind system accepts it as laugh. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a deep breath and stand in a standing position. You're going to have leaning your upper body and head back as if you just heard a great joke. You'll open your mouth wide. You'll lean forward, and you'll grab your knees as you let out a loud, sound from your belly. You'll laugh with your eyes as well as your belly, and you're going to bounce up and down as you laugh with your knees, holding onto your knees. As you let out of oxygen possible, breathing through your nose, and then you're going to laugh out your mouth again. Bend over. Let all the air laugh out. Your hands are on your knees. On this second laugh, you're going to laugh all your breath out, ha, 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 and then you're going to hold your breath out, and you're going to suck your stomach up in towards your spine and kind of bring your chin down. You're just going to hold it for three, that tension, and then you're going to breathe out as long as you're comfortable. Then you'll stand up and breathe in and out. We'll be closing by imagining that we're breathing in and out through our eyes. So I'm going to talk through it one more time. We're going to take that big breath, standing up, leaning back. We're going to come down on our knees, and you're going to hear everybody laughing on the phone. It's really quite contagious as it spreads. Laugh with your eyes as well as your belly. So if you happen to be looking at your carpet or whatever is in front of you, just let your eyes feel the laugh that comes from your belly. You'll straighten up, taking that big, deep breath again. on this second laugh, which is the exhale, ha, 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 you'll hold all that air out. You'll be quiet. Tuck your chin in. Tuck your belly in. Count to three if you can, and then relax, standing up and breathing in. If you'd like to hold the phone to your ear as I speak through this again, you're welcome to. Otherwise, you can just put the phone right near you, and we will be laughing together. Mm-hmm. So is everybody standing?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Does everybody understand?
Yes.
There's not too much that you can do wrong. Don't worry if you took a, you're supposed to hold your breath out, but you took a breath, then go ahead and just blow it out and then hold again. It's going to work well for all of us. Okay. So if you'd like to set your phone down to where you can have both hands on your knees, you're welcome to. Otherwise, you can have one hand on your knee. We're going to start by just taking one in and exhaling out. And on the next one, we'll do the laugh when we come out. So big breath in. Leaning back. Here we go, down to knees, mouth wide, turn up the lips, the big... bouncing up and down, straightening up, take the biggest breath possible, come back down again big. Breath out. If you're done laughing, keep laughing if you need to laugh. Chin tucked in, belly pulled up, hold all that air out. One, two, three, and then rising up. Let your eyes breathe in deeply as you breathe in. And when you exhale out, imagine that clarity coming out your eyes. This is a great self-help modality. Whenever you feel like you need to break through a situation or a feeling or just enliven all your cells, two big belly laughs. How do you feel at this moment?
Good. Good.
Great.
Good.
Thank you. So we need to do another modality to make the shift. We don't. That was it. There's amazing power when we line up our intentions with the right action. It's like the enormous potential held in a light switch for a ballroom. It's completely dark. You hit the switch, and the whole ballroom's lighted up. This belly laugh was the tool, like the light switch, that has tremendous impact. So for the statements that we set in, the intentions, the attitude response, all of that has shifted. It has. I'm muscle checking that we are now resonating positively for the positive parts, that the earlier experiences, the link to them holding a negative endorphin response in our relationship to our goal here has been broken. Great. There is homework that we need. Nope. There's no extra homework needed. And the session is now complete. It is. Well, thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much.
Wow.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rosita.
Very welcome.
Wonderful. Oh, so with that, with all that laughter in your heart, in your body, it's a nice way to end the day. So I appreciate you all being here. I just wanted to make one or two quick announcements about the cleanse. I'm very excited that I was able to speak to Victoria Butenko today. She's the author of the book Green for Life, and she's done a lot of research about green smoothies. I have a couple of her interviews in your materials. Well, she's going to be on a live call with us on Thursday.
Awesome.
And so if you've got any specific questions that you'd like to address to Victoria, there's a number of ways that you can communicate them with me. One is, as soon as I send out the announcement for the call, it's going to link you to one of these webinar boxes with the questions. And if you submit your questions there, that will compile a list of questions for me. The other way you can do it is to go to the forum and sign in and look at the Ask the Coaches section and just post your questions there. So I'll check those two places. If you can't figure out the technology of those two things, then just go ahead and send me an email. That would be no problem. And I will get them in any of those ways. I'll compile the list of questions. I have some very specific questions that I want to ask her, and then we'll do your questions, and we'll have some time for some open Q&A with her. She's a great resource. She's been doing a lot of research in the area of greens and health, and she's got a wealth of information. So I'm excited that that's going to happen. So if anyone has any particular questions, I know Rosita needs to head off and put her little kiddos to bed. But if anybody wants to stay on the line and has any questions about the cleanse so far, about any of the recipes, about the symptoms you're feeling or anything like that, I'd be happy to stay on the line for, you know, maybe another 10 or 15 minutes. And then I have kiddos to put to bed. I'm happy to do that. And I want to thank you so much, Rosita. This was amazing. And I'm hoping that everyone is just going to see some really positive benefits from doing this, just the ease and the joy with which they go through the rest of the week and in making healthy choices. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Okay.
Thank you.
I would like to say one thing, and that is resonance repatterning can be quite subtle, but you go out with high expectations. The results are how this process is driven. And so I recommend, you know, stepping forward and moving forward with great expectations that your relationship to eating well and living well as you eat well, that it comes with effortless ease. And like Rita was saying, that we get those endorphins connected to it that bring joy and pleasure and excitement to it.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Well, I think I am going to say goodbye from Rosita.
Bye-bye, Rosita.
Bye,
give those kids a big hug and a kiss for me.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
And if anybody has any questions, hang on and just state your name and ask me the question. I saw there was a question posted to the forum from Clarita.
Well, actually, that was before, you know, I realized what this call really
was about.
So it's okay if you don't want to answer that. But.
Oh, I'm fine. And that's any questions related to this at all are fine right
okay.
now. So,
well,
yeah,
then my question is standing that I'm just still wondering how to deal with, you know, coming in after 11 days on the Master Cleanse.
On Master Cleanse.
Yet with, you know, just still not being in a flow, eliminating in a really
right, because that's a pure liquid diet. There is no fiber on that. So that will tend to happen. I think I sent you an email earlier today. I don't know if you saw that. Suggestions about constipation.
Okay.
And maybe it was not you. Maybe it was somebody else asked the same question, but I remember sending an email this afternoon about constipation. But in general, one thing you might consider is getting a colonic since you've been coming off of 9 days of liquid only. The other thing you might do is just wait a couple of days and see if just kicking your system back into gear with the smoothies, which even though it's liquid and you're drinking it, it's really not liquid. It's solid and there's a lot of fiber still in there. So that may jumpstart it. Were you the one that said that you tried some of the tea, like Senna or Smooth Move or something like that, and that wasn't helping?
Yeah.
It might be that you need some bulk going through, and certainly consider a colonic. There's some good people here in town that do colonics, and I can give you a referral if you want one.
Okay, great.
Okay. So you may try those things and just, you know, shoot me an email in the next couple of days and let me know how that's going. And,
okay.
And if it's still a problem, I'll send you the link to or the name of a person.
Okay. And then I would like to ask, is the call on Thursday going to be 7:30 also?
Yes, it's going to be 7:30.
Great.
I think so. I have to look at my sheet because she's on the west. And it may actually be 8 o'clock. Let me look at my... I'll it's either 7:30 or 8 o'clock, and I'll clarify
that's
one.
Great. That's close enough for me.
Yeah. So, and we may have, I'm trying to line up another speaker for another time this week, and her specialty is stress, dealing with stress, and she has a technique she calls, you know, the bliss through the inner smile, and she's very knowledgeable, but she's not in California, and she actually has patients until 7 o'clock California time, so I'm afraid that might end up being too late for other people that are here or in on the East Coast, but we'll work it out at some point.
Thank you. Great.
Any other questions? Betty, you did get on the forum. You know, your technology is there. You actually made it to the forum and you posted. So I just wanted I responded to it. I don't know if you got back on to see, because you sent out an email or a message that says, I'm just checking this out. I'm not sure if this is actually working. And it did.
But I have to work at it then.
Yeah, you did it. You did it just fine. So just go do whatever you did before if you want to send a message. And it looks like there's been very low activity on it. And it varies from one cleanse group to another. Some of them are super active, as you can see, by a lot of the posts out there and the recipes and all. And some groups are not active at all on it. And so it's just the personality of the group, so to speak.
Right.
But it's a great way to look for resources, because I know for me that I do, if I make up new recipes, I post them. And I'm going to post one tonight that I just did for myself.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So far, I've really enjoyed the cleanse. I've had my ups and downs, but I have enjoyed it.
Great.
And my pre-cleanses, I would be very good, and then I'd blow it. And then I'd be very good. But I'm maintaining.
Wonderful.
So I'm very happy with this. Staying on the smoothies.
And then can I make a comment to help you reframe that, what you just said?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
You said in the past you've done really well and then blown it.
Right.
And perhaps if you think about it as you did very well and then you took a temporary diversion and then you got back on it.
Ah, I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no judgment in that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I need to.
Try that on.
Yes.
Yeah, there's nothing about blowing it. You've got option A, option B, and option C. And if you decided you were going to do option A and you go off track from option A, then you can just say you did the green cleanse, but you did option C for a short period of time. And then you're going back on option A. So there's no blowing it. It's all good.
Right. It's all in how you look at it.
It's all in how you look at it. All of these things that we worked on tonight are a matter of beliefs and how our beliefs shape our actions and how sometimes those beliefs go underground and shape our actions without us even realizing them, without them going through our conscious memory. And it can change. And it will change. And it has changed because we just did this amazing repatterning. It has changed.
That's right.
So go forward with that attitude. It has changed. That was then. This is now. Now I am a commitment to eating well, providing the best possible nutrition for my body, and having pleasure at the same time. Or having pleasure in a different way, maybe even separating that, you know, the food doesn't necessarily have to be the pleasure.
Right. The pleasure is feeling so much better.
The pleasure, yeah. And the benefit with this food is that it can be both. And you can make amazing foods.
Right.
And the smoothies, too. The smoothie I had tonight, it was like, is this really like this great, wonderful cleansing beverage? It was delicious. It's just very delicious and extremely filling.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome.
I really feel like I have made a giant step.
Rita Marie, can I add, if one drinks maybe one quart of the green smoothie a day and then just water, is that enough? That's all I had. I mean, it seems like that's all that I had stomach for today.
Okay, that's fine. And that is actually like a midway between a green smoothie cleanse and a water fast. And so this whole cleansing process, there's so many ways of cleansing, and that's fine. It's going by how you feel. If that's what you had and you were feeling like you wanted pizza all day long, then probably not, right? But if you did that and you were feeling fine and you had enough energy and you weren't feeling like you were going to faint, perfect. Trust your body. If it says have another green smoothie, have another green smoothie. If it says have some pizza, start having a conversation with it.
Have another green smoothie.
Have another green smoothie. That's what I always tell myself. If I get an urge for, and my treats these days have just, you know, I've gotten so evolved with this that when I really crave something decadent, it's like a date with some almond butter spread inside of it. That's like my super decadent treat. And if I get an urge for that, like 9 o'clock at night, and I know it's not a good thing to eat heavy foods late at night, I'll say, okay, go have a little green smoothie. And then if you still want the date with almond butter, go ahead and have it. And usually I'm satisfied after the green smoothie and I'm so full I can't deal with the date with almond butter. And at those times I make the most delicious green smoothie I can. I don't make the kale, lemon juice, garlic one. You know, I make the tropical cherry pineapple one or something like that. And it's satisfying. And, yeah, it's a matter of really creating new beliefs and really talking to yourself about what do you really want right now, which is going to get me closer to it. And you just keep asking it. I'll be sending out emails every day that just have a lot of that thought process through them. You know, just a lot of the experiences that I've had and other people's people have shared with me to just help you through. And you go, was she reading my mind today? Was she inside my head? Because I was feeling exactly that. Okay, by now you're probably feeling, you go, yeah, how'd she know that? No, I've been through that a lot. So I'm just sharing my experience and the experience of a lot of other people I've coached through this. Hang in there. You're doing great. Okay? So with that, I'm going to go so I can get out my evening email before it hits midnight.
Thank you for all your hard work, and thank you, everybody, for this, you know, doing this together.
Yeah, that's the thing. When you're doing it together, it just creates all this teamwork and synergy, and it's just a wonderful experience. I thank you all for participating. It really means a lot.
Thank you. Good night.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night.